Cosgrove Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
I'm preaching this morning from 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2, and it would be very helpful if you could get your Bibles and follow along. 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2, I've entitled this message, Preaching the Gospel as a Mystery. In verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul the Apostle says, But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. What is a mystery? The way the word is used in the Bible is different than the way we use it. When we think of a mystery, we think of truth concealed. But the Bible means truth revealed. That which we could not have known unless God was pleased to reveal it in His Word. Now, when we're speaking of mystery, or when the Scripture's speaking of mystery, it's not talking about mysticism. Perhaps you've heard that term, mysticism. Mysticism is revelation from God apart from the Scriptures, communicated to you apart from the Scriptures, something you know without God's Word. Now, I don't believe in that for a second, but I do believe in the mysteries of the Scripture. A mystery is a truth that could not be known unless God was pleased to reveal it. A mystery is that which cannot be understood by human understanding. A mystery is that which is so profoundly mysterious that it cannot be explained, only proclaimed and believed. Paul spoke in 1 Timothy 3:9 of holding the mystery of the faith. Let me speak some of the mystery of God, that which cannot be explained, only believed and proclaimed. God is, and His isness is revealed in this book called the Bible. And the Bible claims to be divinely inspired. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Can I explain that? No. Can I prove it? No. But I believe it. And I proclaim it. The Bible is the Word of God. Now, in this book called the Bible, God reveals His isness. God is eternal. He never began to be. He dwells in the eternal now. There's no past, there's no future with Him. He's in the eternal present. Now, can I explain that? No. Do I believe it? Absolutely. God never began to be. Can I explain that? No. Do I believe it? Absolutely. God is one God revealed in three distinct persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God revealed in three distinct persons. Can I explain that? Can I understand it? No. Do I believe it? Yes. Do I proclaim it? Yes. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Paul said in 1 Timothy 3:16, Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The eternal God was manifest in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God became flesh. Do I understand that? No. Can I explain it? Absolutely not. Do I believe it? Yes, I do. God became flesh. Listen to this scripture. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "In Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in a body. All the fullness of omnipotence, all the fullness of omniscience, all the fullness of omnipresence, all the fullness of all of God's attributes, everything God is, resides in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ." Do I understand that? Oh, no. Can I explain it? No. Do I believe it with all my heart? Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. When Christ came here upon this earth, everything He did as a representative, being united with those the Father gave Him. The Scripture speaks in Ephesians 3:31 of this great mystery, the two being one flesh. He said, "I speak concerning Christ and the church." God's elect have always been one with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I was born on 9/9/59, but I've always had existence before God in the person of Christ. I'm united to Him, so much so that when He lived, I lived. When He died, I died. When He was raised, I was raised. Now, can I understand that? No. But do I believe it? With all my heart. We preach the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now, these people that God has saved, that are united to the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to be raised from the dead to perfect conformity to Christ. Listen to this scripture. Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery." There's the word again. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Let's look back at verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, I'm going to look at a lot of scriptures now, and I hope you'll get your Bibles and follow along. I'm preaching the Word. I'm not preaching my opinion. I'm not preaching church dogma or church doctrine. I'm preaching the Word of God. That's where the authority of this comes from. Not because it's what I think. This is God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect." Do you know every believer is perfect in Christ Jesus? A perfect sacrifice makes a perfect saint. Somebody says, "I'm not perfect." I am in Christ. I am in Christ. Every believer is in Christ. If He's perfect, I am too, because I'm united to Him. "Now we speak wisdom among them that are perfect." The perfect hear this and they say, "Yes." "Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known that, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory." When they crucified Him, they didn't know He was God. They thought He was some deluded imposter. They didn't know He was God. They hated Him. They didn't know He was the Lord of glory. Verse 9, "But as it's written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." God has revealed His gospel to us by His Spirit, who searches all things, the deep things of God. Verse 11, "For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God." Now, who knows what's going on in my mind? Only one person, me. And the only way you can know what's going on in my mind is if I'm pleased to disclose that knowledge to you. Now, the only one who knows what's going on in God's mind is God. And the only way we can know it is if he by his Spirit is pleased to make it known. If he gives us a spiritual understanding. Now he says in verse 12, now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. This is, a natural man can't receive this. Look at verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither indeed can he know them. He lacks the ability to know them because they're spiritually discerned. You see, you have to have a spirit to hear the gospel. Well, preacher, doesn't everybody have a spirit? No. When Adam died in the Garden of Eden, he didn't die physically. He didn't. His soul didn't die, but his spirit died. And the Scripture says that we're dead in trespasses and sins. That's spiritual death. And only when God gives you the new birth, when God begets you, when God gives you a spiritual nature, can you hear the gospel. The natural man can't even receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're just foolishness unto him. He lacks the ability to receive them because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, this is the man God has given the Holy Spirit to. He's been given a new nature. He that is spiritual judges or discerns all things. He understands the gospel. He understands what he could not understand before. He believes what he did not believe before. He's got a spiritual discernment. He hears the truth and he believes it and he receives it. Only someone with the Holy Spirit can do that. Yet he himself is discerned of no man. No man can understand where he's coming from, a natural man. You know, I understand natural men because I was one of them. But they don't understand me because they've never been a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, it takes a spiritual nature to discern spiritual things. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Every believer has the mind of Christ to hear the gospel. Now I want to go back in chapter 1, in verse 17. Paul said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now, Paul's not taking away from the importance of baptism. Baptism by immersion is the believer's public confession of Christ. He's saying that's not what God sent me to do, though. It's not about results, but about preaching the gospel, declaring the gospel. That's what God sent me to do, to declare the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. In chapter 2, verse 1, he said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God. I didn't come with flowery rhetoric or intellectualism, for I determined not to know anything among you, say Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, what is it to use wisdom of words in trying to preach the gospel? What's Paul talking about? Wisdom of words is man's attempt to make the gospel understandable. Wisdom of words is man's attempt to make the gospel more palatable, more acceptable to men. It's packaging the gospel so as to remove the offense from the cross and making it easier to receive. We see this so much now, the wisdom of words, packaging the gospel, trying to make it easier to receive, using words in the wrong way. Now, here's an example of the wisdom of words. In Acts chapter 4, Peter's been arrested, and John, for preaching the gospel. They've healed the man, and they're brought before the Jewish Sanhedrin, and they say, by what name or by what power or authority do you do these things? Who gave you the authority to do this? Peter could have replied, God gave us the authority to do this. God enabled this man to walk. Jehovah did it all. If he would have said that, it would have been true, but it would have been compromise. He wouldn't have been telling the truth, but that's not what he said. He didn't say God did this, although God did. He said, be it known unto you that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, this man stands before you whole. It's him who did this. You see, if he would have said God, he would have been using wisdom of words to save his own skin. But that's not the way he did this. Now he says in verse 18, he says, for the preaching of the cross, or the doctrine of the cross, or the word of the cross, that's the word, is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it, the preaching of the cross, is the power of God. Now what is meant by the preaching of the cross? Oh, my dear friend, listen very carefully. The preaching of the cross is the whole counsel of God. The preaching of the cross is the eternal purpose of God. Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken with wicked hands of crucified and slain. The cross is God's eternal purpose. What's the doctrine of the cross? The cross tells us who God is. All of God's attributes are seen in the cross. Does God hate sin? Go to the cross and you'll see. When sin is found in His Son, He kills Him. God is absolutely just. He will not let sin go unpunished. That's seen in the cross. Sin was punished even in His Son. God is all wise. He's made a way to be just and yet justify someone who's unjust in the cross. God is love. Look at His love for sinners, that He would give His Son to die. All of God's attributes, everything that God is revealed in the cross. The cross is a declaration of the character of God. The doctrine of the cross tells us the truth about men. Now, you may have done some very bad things. You may be ashamed of those things. But you know, those things that you've done don't really give the true picture of what you are by nature. The only thing that gives the true picture is the cross. There, when God let men do what they wanted to do, they nailed His Son to a tree. We are by nature haters of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of folks say, well, I don't hate Christ. Well, you don't hate the Christ you feel comfortable with, the Christ you can control. Nobody's afraid of that Christ, but I'm talking about the Christ of the Bible. Men hate Him, and if God left you and me to ourselves, we would put His Son out of business. The cross tells the true nature of men, but the cross also gives the true nature of salvation. When the Lord Jesus Christ cried from the cross, "It is finished," the salvation of every one of God's people was accomplished. Accomplished without their works by what He did. That is the doctrine of the cross. Now, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. Now, the power of God. How's the power of God seen? Well, the power of God is seen in creation, when He made something from nothing. There was nothing, and He spake something into existence by His mighty power. God created the universe. Now, there's another way that God's power is seen. Matter cannot be destroyed. Everything in the universe, it can't just disappear and be no more. It may change forms. You may set a piece of wood on fire and energy comes out and it turns to ashes, but still, the matter is still there. Matter never leaves the universe. Only God can cause something to not be, which was. Now, on the cross, Christ Jesus made me to be what I was not. He made me to be holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight. He made me to be what I was not. He made something from nothing. And He made my sin to be no more. It's gone. He put it away. He blotted it out. It is no more. What power is seen? The mighty power of God in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 19, "For it's written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" If you take all the world's wisdom, it's nothing but foolishness. Now, you have to have a new nature to see that. But if you have a new nature, you see it. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." By all of its philosophies, by all of its maxims, the world by its own wisdom knew not God. "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." This is how God speaks through what I'm doing right now, through preaching. Somebody says, "That's foolishness." It may be, but that's how God works. "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Verse 22, "For the Jews," that's the religious fellows, "they require a sign. And the Greeks seek after wisdom." The Jews require a sign. Now, you say you're telling the truth. I need some proof. Let me see a miracle. Let me see something that will prove to me that you're of God. I hear what you're saying, but I got to have some proof. I've got to have some evidence. I need some miracle performed in order to prove that what you're saying is the truth. Now, if you tell me something and I say you need to prove it, you know what that means? It means I don't believe you. This is the cry of unbelief. It's unbelief that needs a sign. You see, when you hear the truth, you know it's the truth. It's unbelief that needs a sign of proof. The Jews, the religious people, they need a sign because they really don't believe. And the Greeks seek after wisdom, the philosophy of this world, the intellectuals, the academics, and so on. But, Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. Salvation by what He did. We preach the person, the God-man, crucified. What He did, He put away sin by the death of Himself. We preach Christ crucified, not just Christ, but Christ crucified. Not just the cross, but Christ crucified. We preach the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, unto the Jews, this is a stumbling block. It's a scandal. You mean to tell me that your works have absolutely nothing to do with salvation? Why, that will create sin. That'll make people not care about good works. When you talk about grace the way you do, why, that'll lead people to sin. To the religious people, the gospel is a stumbling block. They find it scandalous. And unto the Greeks, foolishness. This is the educated. You expect me to believe you're saved by somebody else's righteousness? You expect me to believe that the Bible's the inspired Word of God? Why, that's foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks. Thank God He saved Jews and Greeks. But unto them which are called, not everybody is, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God. And Christ, the wisdom of God. He's made a way in His wisdom to be just and yet justify the ungodly. Only God could do that. Because, He says in verse 5, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, what is the foolishness of God? It's the foolishness of preaching. That's what God uses. What is the weakness of God? I didn't know God was weak. You look on the cross. He was crucified in weakness as a man. Oh, how weak He was on the cross. And yet that act of weakness was the act of the mighty power of God. God's most awesome work was done through the frailty of His Son hanging on a cross. He magnified Himself. He glorified Himself. He saved His people through the work on the cross. Now, He says in verse 26, "For you see your calling, brethren." Now, He's describing God's elect. "You see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty and the base things of the world. And the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Now he gives a fivefold description of God's elect. Foolish, powerless, low-born, born of Adam, despised, nobodies, nothings, nothing to recommend them to God. Now he describes them like this, and then he says, here's why God saves people like this, that no flesh should glory in his presence. He's not going to have it. But, I love this word but in the scripture. These same people who are foolish, powerless, weak and so on, despised, nothings, these same people. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, while in myself I'm foolish, I'm without power, I'm low-born, I'm a nobody with nothing to recommend me to God. And that's the truth regarding me. Yet, I'm in Christ Jesus and I'm wise. I'm the very wisdom of God because He is my wisdom before God. In Christ, I am righteous. I'm the very righteousness of God. In Christ, I'm holy. I'm the very holiness of God. In Christ, I have full redemption. And that's the truth regarding me. That's the truth regarding every believer. Christ has made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption, so that I'm wise, I'm righteous, I'm holy, I'm redeemed. Now, do I understand all this? How God can do that? No, I don't. It's a mystery. But I believe it. I receive it. And I proclaim it. And here's why God does all things this way. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now we have this message on cassette tape, DVD, or CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Niver praying that God will be pleased to make himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen. Lord, for Lord, that could not be.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.